I'm just happy for those that have physically made it here today, and the part of our family that's watching via the streaming service, welcome to you too. Amen? Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen? Amen? All right. We're in part two of the series, The Power That Still Prevails. And the message this morning is entitled, The Power to Minister. And again this week, I'm going to give a pre-message disclaimer, if you'll allow me to. All right? All right. This particular message is going to contain a lot of Greek words today. Can't help that. In fact, there's 11 of them. And I guess I would want to ask you just to not get hung up on that fact, okay? Just listen to the whole of the message, which only comes across if I do define the Greek words. And I'm sure that you will receive what you need to receive this morning. How many of you are sure that God will meet you where you're at today? Amen. Amen. And you know, a lot of times I say to you, you know, I don't have a long message this morning. I'm not going to say that this time. So you might as well get comfortable, but I believe it'll seem to go quickly anyway. But would you stand with me and we will declare together our Bible declaration. You know, I've noticed one thing. It's awfully, awfully quiet in here. I don't know if it's because everybody's tired. I'm tired. But I'm going to do my best to wake you up today, okay? Okay? All right. Take your Bible, raise it up towards heaven, and repeat this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 3, okay? And we're going to read verses 21 and 22 to begin with this morning. That's Luke chapter 3. Verses 21 and 22. All right. Are you there? I knew you would be, sure. All right. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Now, if we would go to Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." I just wonder if you know this morning. I would imagine you know. Jesus emptied himself of his divinity, okay, when he came here to earth. You know, a lot of times people say, well, of course Jesus was able to do that. He was God. That isn't the issue here. What he was a Spirit-filled, come on, are you here today? What he was a Spirit-filled man, okay? He emptied himself of his divinity. He set it aside. Are you with me? Okay. Now, Serena, would you mind coming up here and praying? I love to get people right when they're right in the middle of something, you know?
Father, we humbly come before your throne right now, and we thank you, God, that we can come boldly. It says, humbly and boldly we come. Father, we just thank you that we have this opportunity to hear your word, to learn by the power of your Holy Spirit what you have for us today. I pray we'd empty ourselves, that we would lay down everything, every resistance to your word, every resistance, every wall, God, that we've built up against the power of your Holy Spirit. And we would just be empty before you so that we could be filled. God, let not one thing stand in the way of your word today. Let not sin, let not guilt, let not condemnation, let not fear. God, nothing that we would hold on to that says, oh, that's not for me. Oh, that must be for them. But let us take it into ourselves by the power of your Holy Spirit, and let us walk in it. And we thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Serena. Thank you. How many of you believe that God has something for you this morning? Amen. That's why I believe you're here, or that's why you're watching on the stream. God has something for you. And I think sometimes we can lose sight of that fact. And so many times we sit here in church and we listen to the message and we say, well, that missed me, you know. Or like Serena said, sometimes we pitchfork it back behind us and say, this must be for them, because it certainly isn't for me. Do you know that one of the greatest indications that the message is for you is when you say, this isn't for me, I can see that. This must be for that person, okay? Okay, just wanted you to know that this morning. And I'll throw one other thing in too, okay? I'm just exhausted this morning, okay? So just pray for me as I'm reading this. How many of you know that sometimes when you own dogs, they know how to keep you awake? And when you have a daughter that's a dog lover and a mother, or excuse me, a wife, sorry, honey, that's a dog lover, and a husband that, anyway, they can keep you awake just by, I mean, I said to him, don't you know I have to preach tomorrow? Didn't make any difference. All right. Okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
I'll do my best here. We see, or we can see anyway, from the scripture that we just read, that when Jesus was water baptized in the Jordan River, that he was also baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see that. And when John the Baptist testified that day, he testified this, that God did not, all right, God did not give him his Spirit sparingly, but that he gave it to him without measure. Say, without measure. In other words, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned and what it can do in a person's life, Jesus got it all. Amen? He didn't get some little representation of the Holy Spirit or just part of it to get a little bit more of it later. He got it all, every bit of it. And the Bible tells us that right after the baptism, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And it was in that Judean wilderness, not far from the Jordan River, that Jesus definitely defeated the devil. Amen? You should get excited about that, that he defeated the devil using the power of the Holy Spirit coupled with the Word of God. And please, you need to understand that. It's not that he was God himself in the wilderness fighting the devil. He was a Spirit-filled man, come on, a Spirit-filled man in the wilderness fighting the devil. And he won. He won. After that, we see that Jesus returned to the region of Galilee in what? In the power of the Spirit to minister to others. So one of the whys, or the reasons, if you will, for being baptized in the Holy Spirit is this. When you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you are supernaturally empowered to minister to other people. All right? And that supernatural empowerment is given to you to flow through you to transform other people's lives. Are you with me so far? Are the rest of you just kind of sitting there? Are you with me so far? All right. Now let's talk a little bit about that baptism, okay? John the Baptist, according to the scriptures, was a man sent by God to prepare the way for Jesus. Amen? When the people asked John if he was the Messiah, he said this in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Twice in this verse, we see this word baptize, okay? Which many of you know this, but the Greek word is baptizo, okay? Baptizo, which means to fully immerse. Originally, this word meant to dip and to dye, okay? It described the process of dipping a piece of cloth, if you will, or a garment, into a vat of dye to change its color and leaving it in that vat long enough for the material to soak up the new color and then pulling that garment or that cloth out of the dye, you got to hear this next part, with a permanently changed outward appearance. I want you to know this morning, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, people see it, okay? People can see it and they can sense it. And I'll tell you, that'll preach. You can be permanently changed. All right. And just as John was baptizing in the Jordan River, he said there is one coming after him who would fully baptize or fully immerse people in the Holy Spirit and fire. See, in this verse, John is talking about Jesus. Amen? He's talking about Jesus. He was the baptizer. And John said when he came, he would saturate or fully immerse individuals in the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful for that this morning. He would do that so powerfully and so completely that they would be permanently transformed. I know this much. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it made a difference in my life. Amen? And I believe truly I was permanently transformed, not to be the same ever again. But before Jesus became the baptizer, he himself needed to be baptized. Luke 3:21 and 22 say this, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened. This must have been great to watch, amen? And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Glory to God. Glory to God. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being what? With the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Okay, now I'm going to start getting into the Greek, okay? The word filled in this verse is the Greek word pleres, which means full and complete, lacking nothing. That's what Jesus received when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He didn't receive a portion. And I'm telling you this more than once so that you get it. Amen? So that you understand what I'm trying to say. He didn't receive a portion of the Holy Spirit, not some of it, but all of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he was so filled with the Spirit of God that the Bible says he lacked nothing. Amen? Say he lacked nothing. I want you to understand something this morning, and this is so, so important. You and I, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Are you with me? And joint heirs get the same thing as the other heirs. Amen? Come on, you should start getting excited. In other words, whatever Jesus gets, we get. Amen? Come on. That's the idea of being a joint heir together with him. So when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you too receive the Holy Spirit without measure. Praise God. Just like Jesus. Say just like Jesus and keep on clapping because that's an awesome thing. Glory to God. And we see, you know, just how full of the Spirit that Jesus was when the devil came to tempt him. Again, the Bible says he was tempted of the devil. How many of you know what that's like? How many of you can't stand that happening for a day? Well, Jesus went through it for 40 days. All right. The English word translated as tempted is the Greek word periazo, which means to put to the test, or to test in order to expose the truth about the quality of a substance or the quality of what you believe in, or in other words, it's your faith. It tests your faith. Are you with me? Periazo pictures a test which is designed to expose either the deficiencies or the trustworthiness of a person. As in, will you do what you say you will do? Or are you going to do what your flesh is telling you to do? Are you going to stick with what you believe? Or is something else going to happen? The truth is, Satan tempted Jesus to see what he was made of. I mean, would he live up to his divine reputation or would he yield to temptation? Would he stand on the truth of the Word of God or would he fold and would he fail? Was Jesus who he said he was or was he just another one of those kooks, okay, who were claiming to be the Messiah in those days because there was more than one? Well, the devil got his answer, didn't he? He got his answer. As Jesus, now full of the Holy Spirit, say, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Say, I can have that too. But when Jesus, now full of the Holy Spirit, he stood unflinchingly speaking the word of God to the devil, even in his weakened and depleted physical condition. He didn't make excuses. He knew what he needed to do and he did it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Jesus had all the power he needed. Say, just say this like you mean it, okay? Say, I've got all the power that I need. To defeat the devil. Yeah, you can say that too. And not give in to his own human nature. See, that's the thing, isn't it? Are we going to be willing to stand on what we really believe in, what we really say we believe in? And when those times of temptation come and they are so hard, do we have the moxie, if you will, to stand on what we really believe in? Are we going to do on Monday what we say we're going to do on Sunday? Come on. Are we going to do the rest of the week? Every time the devil comes, are we going to say, hey, greater is he that is in me than you that's in the world. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Glory to God. Glory to God. I mean, would to God that we would always make the same choice as what Jesus made, and we would take advantage of being filled with the same Spirit as Jesus did. When I think of it, and I want you to keep thinking about this, I know Jesus was God, but Jesus emptied himself of every attribute. Do you believe what I'm saying here? Okay. Of every attribute that made him God. So that made him what? A man. No different than you. No different than me. Luke 4:14 says this. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Boy, look out, people. He returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. The word power used here is a word, the Greek word, and I'm sure you all know this one, dunamis, okay? It's dunamis, which describes, and this is amazing to me, explosive, superhuman power that comes with enormous energy and produces phenomenal, extraordinarily unparalleled results. That's dunamis. Are you with me this morning? And it also depicts the full might of an advancing army. That's the power that's within us. When the Roman army advanced and marched into battle, dunamis was a word that was used to describe the movement of the troops. Why? Because they had the power to conquer anything, say anything, anything that stood in their way. That's the kind of power. That is the kind of power that was released through Jesus Christ when he returned from the wilderness of Galilee, victorious over the devil and full of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I guess it doesn't matter if I'm tired. I'm getting pretty excited here. I guess I want you to grab a hold and realize that what the Bible is saying, it's for you. It's for me. And we don't get a small rendition of the Holy Spirit. We don't get this mini portion to see if we're okay with it. No, we get it all. We get it all. Then Jesus said some things that were so rich and deep in meaning in the verses that are following, verses 16 through 19. The Bible says this. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Understand something here. I can just imagine, you just went through 40 days of kicking the devil, right? And just before that, what was different? So you got filled with the Holy Spirit. It's still fresh in the mind of Jesus. It's still fresh. I'm just thinking, what would you do? How would you act? But, okay, he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Glory to God. And he's talking about himself here, okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, okay? How come? Because he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This morning, what I want to do is just really take apart this section of Scripture so that we can understand exactly and fully what the Bible is trying to tell you and I. First of all, the first thing that's said in the Scripture is that the Spirit was upon Jesus. The word upon is the Greek word epi, say epi, which means upon or on. It takes a lot to figure that out. When Jesus said the Spirit was upon him, now this is what's important here. He was referring back to the moment when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the Jordan River. Understand this. From that point on, when he was in the Jordan being baptized, the Spirit of God rested upon him. I'm going to tell you right now, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God will rest upon you too, okay? It doesn't matter if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit 10 years ago. It's still resting upon you. Verse 18 also says that Jesus was anointed. The word anointed in verse 18 is the Greek word krio, which originally spoke of the smearing or the rubbing of oil or medicine or perfume on an individual. The word was used in a medical sense to denote a healing ointment. Scripturally, it was used here to show the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the effects that that anointing imparts to you and I. And it's really actually quite interesting here to note this, okay, that in those days, when someone was anointed, the medium used was hands, okay? In other words, it was done using a person's hands. The healing oil or the medicine was placed on the anointer's hands and then rubbed into the one being or needing to be anointed. So if you were being anointed, you were receiving a hands-on experience. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have received a hands-on experience from God himself. And that ought to make you shout. Amen? That ought to make you shout. When Jesus said in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, he was saying that God's hand is on me because he's placed his hands upon my life and his healing power has been worked into me so I can personally let it flow out of me. Glory. What am I saying? Because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was and is anointed. And because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are as anointed as well. And I'm convinced that's why Jesus said, greater things than these you will do. Amen? If I go away. What happened when he went away? The Holy Spirit came. Glory. Glory. Okay, now let's look at the phrase, to preach the gospel. The phrase, that, and this I'm going to murder this one, okay? The phrase is the Greek word, euangelizo, okay? And it means to announce good news, or to preach good news, or to channel good news. Essentially, what Jesus was saying was this, is God has anointed me to be an open channel or an open conduit for the good news to reach the poor, to the ones who don't have it. Then he said that he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. The word brokenhearted is the word suntribo, and it was used to describe the crushing of grapes with the feet or the smashing and grinding of bones into dust. Taken in context, the way it was written here, this word gives us a picture of a people who have been walked on by others. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been walked on by somebody? Okay? But it gives the picture of people who have been walked on by others, those who have been crushed by others, and I'm sure you've experienced that too, or those who feel they have been smashed to pieces by the circumstances of life. Oh, amen, huh? Amen. And it could be bad relationships that did that. It can be many things. But by using the word that's translated brokenhearted, Jesus is saying this. For those who have been crushed by others and feel walked on or smashed to pieces by everyday life, I am anointed to heal you. Don't you get that? I am anointed to heal you. Now that again should make you shout. Jesus is anointed to heal that part of you that you want to hide. Amen? Come on. Jesus sees you and he wants to heal you and he has the ability to heal you. And guess what? He is willing to heal you. Amen. Praise God. The word heal in this verse is translated from the Greek word which means to cure. And I want you just to understand this. It usually refers to a progressive cure. This often depicts like a healing power that is progressively reversing a condition over a period of time. And it usually refers to, again, a progressive cure. It's not a miracle, but it is, okay? But you don't get whole right now. You get whole over a period of time. God touches you that way as well. Amen. I've experienced it myself. Okay? I may not have received a kabam miracle, you know, when I had a stroke, okay? I couldn't talk the next day but God spoke to me and said to me, as you'd spend time in my presence reading the word of God, reading my word is what it says, reading my word out loud, I will restore you. I had no idea that was therapy. So I walked around this church every day for as long as I could stand it. It was usually about 2 hours. Then I'd go home and sleep for 2 hours and come back and do it again because I was sure that he was going to heal me, not slam a miracle on top of me, but through my work and co-laboring with him, come on, he was going to heal me. Glory be to God. Do you realize that I was touched, if you will, by the stroke at my speech center? What a rotten thing to do. A pastor who can't talk. That's kind of counterproductive. Anyway. I don't know about you. But if I can't get a miracle, I'll take a healing any day. Amen? No matter how long it takes. Then Jesus says this. He was anointed to preach deliverance to the captives. There's three words that are important in this next phrase. First is the word preach, which is the Greek word karuso, which means this, to preach, to proclaim, declare, announce, or to herald a message. Okay. Secondly is the word deliverance, which is a word that describes a release or a dismissal or a pardon. It can also mean to set free and to loose. How many of you have been set free? Well, you know you have. If you got Jesus, you've been set free from the power of sin already. Amen? Yeah. Amen. That's what that means. But then there's the word captives. It's the Greek word describing prisoners or captives, those taken captive, if you will, at the point of a spear. This is a people who have been dragged into bondage by a force against their will. This captivity can be due to a number of things. Now just please hear this. It could be a poor self-image. Come on, how many of you here today call yourself stupid? Oh, I'm so stupid I didn't do this. Maybe you got a poor self-image, or a damaging relationship caused that hurt in you, or bad habits, or drugs, or a type of addiction, if you will. Jesus said this, he came to proclaim and declare and release and bring freedom to all, say to all, to all those who are held captive to those things. Even if it feels like there is a spear at your back making you do these things, because that's what temptation feels like. It feels like there's somebody behind you saying, come on, do it, just to do it. It's going to be fun. The reward's going to be great. And as soon as you do it, the spear's gone, and that voice turns to one thing, and it turns into this. Why? You're so stupid. Why did you do that? It's the same voice. Even if it feels like there's a spear at your back making you do all those things, you can be set free because Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit that day at the Jordan River, because the Holy Spirit has rested upon him from that time forward. See, that's huge. That's huge. He also mentioned this, okay? He mentioned the recovering of sight to the blind. The phrase recovering of sight is the Greek word anablepsis. You should say, Wes, you did a really good job at that because I was Sure, I would mess that up. Anablepsis. And it means this: the returning of one's sight, okay, or the restoration of sight, or to see again. And the word blind is the Greek word touphlos, which doesn't just depict a person who is unable to see, but it points to a person who has been intentionally blinded by someone. It can picture someone whose eyes have been deliberately removed so that now he's blind. The individual hasn't lost his sight. He just plain doesn't have any eyes to see. Well, let's take this spiritually a minute. Maybe as a result of great difficulties and challenging situations or disappointments in life, how many of you know what those are like? Amen? Or maybe a crisis of faith that you had because of what happened. People can become blind to the reality of the power of God. I mean, we read this in 2 Corinthians 4:4. We read what the Bible says that the devil wants to do to us. It says this: whose minds, the god of this age, who's that?
Satan.
Whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They're so blinded, the devil has so blinded. There's another place in Scripture where it says the devil has blinded them and taken them captive to do his will. Are you with me?
Yes.
I hope so. I'm just about done, really. Sorry, Lord. Jesus declared, and I like this. I love the fact that they say he declared in the definition of these things. He didn't just say, "Well, I've come to set the captive free." You know, give eyes again to those people, you know, and the blind ones, you know. He declared out loud, you know, "Hey, you know, I have been anointed to set you free." Period. You got to know this. And you know, we have to know this. We have to have our eyes opened, because maybe there was a time in our life where we didn't seem to get set free by God, and we had to work through that thing all ourselves, or at least we thought it was all ourselves. But through it, God made you who you are today. What gets me is Jesus even has that power to give people eyes to see the goodness of God again.
Amen.
And there's so many times in our life,
yes,
that we lose sight of the goodness of God.
Yes.
And Jesus, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, has been anointed to open your eyes again to the goodness of God. He also said this. He said that he was anointed to set at liberty them that are bruised. Okay? The phrase "set at liberty" is again the Greek word aphesis, the same word translated as deliverance. Okay? It describes release, a dismissal, a pardon, if you will. It means to loose or to set free, and in this case, to set free from the detrimental effects of a shattered and bruised life. You know, I look at my life, and I can say right now, there's times in my life where, and it's been because of me, okay, that my life ended up shattered and bruised, okay? And I don't know about you, but do you know what I'm talking about? To have a shattered life? You know, what you thought was going to be couldn't be anymore because you did something you knew you shouldn't have done when you did it, and you have a shattered and bruised life. And Jesus, you know, you have this weird old Christian that walks up to you and says, "Well, why don't you accept Jesus? It'll all change." Yes, it will. It says it right here in the Word, you know, that he has the ability and the anointing to set you free from that detrimental effect. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here. Because here the Bible speaks of a release from the destructive effects of brokenness, because there is some big effects in our lives from brokenness. And this brings us to the word bruised, okay, which is a Greek word which means to crush or to break down. And it shows us a person who's been fractured and shattered and broken again now by life. It speaks of those peoples whose lives have been continually split up or fragmented. Jesus declared, he declared now, okay, that he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I am anointed too, right? I am anointed too, amen, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he received power to release people from this kind of a broken existence. There is nothing that God can't do. Come on, say that with me. There is nothing that God can't do. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life, how broken you are, how shattered you are. He can still come in and make you whole. Glory to God. That's the God that I serve. That's the God who I worship on Sunday morning. That's the God whose word I read all through the week, because it's important that I can get as much of that into me so the right thing will come out of me when I get in situations that aren't so good, that might shatter my life.
Amen.
Whew. Finally, Jesus said this. He was anointed to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The word acceptable is the Greek word dektos, and it means something favorable, accepted, and favorable, and it speaks of a favorable time to receive. And what this means is that when Jesus's anointing shows up, it is the most favorable moment in a person's life to receive the supernatural help and healing that they need. All, say all. All these amazing blessings became available to people, to us, through Jesus the baptizer, as a result of him first being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he was a man. He emptied himself of that divinity. I can't imagine that. I mean, I don't think I could do that. That's probably why he didn't send me, right? Okay? Okay. But honestly, when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you have that same anointing. Say, I have the same anointing. Say it like you mean it. I have the same anointing. And you have the same anointing on your life to do all these extraordinary things. Well, I can't do nothing. Man, did you see what I was like before I got saved? That doesn't matter. All of that doesn't matter. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things. I'm just glad this morning that there isn't even a little bit of that old life hanging on me. Amen? Amen. Yeah, clap your hands. Give the Lord praise. The Holy Spirit empowers you to be a channel, okay, to preach the gospel to the poor. And his power comes into you to flow through you to others, including who? Including the sick, including the fearful, including the depressed. Oh, you can't watch TV for a half hour without getting 15 minutes of advertisements on taking whatever to get rid of your depression. They convince you that you're depressed. Oh, anyway, I won't go into that. The depressed. All right, and the addicted. Oh, God, how many things did we find ourselves addicted to before we came to Jesus? And he slowly, and he goes through and he cleans those things up because he's anointed, if you will. And those that are broken by what life has dealt them. You know, I talked to people in my office before that says, well, I know that's good and fine for everybody else, but God must be mad at me because he doesn't do that for me. No, they're wrong. They're wrong. I'm sorry. God is not a respecter of persons. God, if God will give it to me, if God will heal me, you know, God will heal you. If God will heal me more than once, he'll heal you more than once. Glory to God. All right, I'm done, but let me sum it up. Luke 4:16 through 19 could be stated like this. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, God's hand is upon me. And because he's placed his hands on my life and his healing power is worked into me and through me, he has anointed me to bring that healing to others. His anointing has enabled me to announce the good news and be an open channel or conduit for the gospel. God has enabled me to minister to those who are crushed and walked on by others in bad circumstances that have hurt their life. I am anointed to heal them. That is, Maybe I can explain it like this. I shouldn't interrupt myself, but I'm going to, okay? You know, if you're anointed to do something, doing something else just isn't in the picture. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if you're anointed to teach kids in Sunday school, then that's what you're going to do. And you know what? If you're anointed to do it, nobody can stop you from doing it. Right? Right? Because you want to do it. Anyway, God has enabled me to minister to those who are crushed and walked on by others in bad circumstances that they have experienced in life. I am anointed to heal them. Those who have, now hear me, those who have a poor self-image, those who suffer from addictions, I can heal them. I might heal them. I'm just going to think about it. I can heal them. I can restore the sight of those who the enemy has blinded and caused disappointments and even crises of faith. I can restore to them eyes that the enemy has blinded so they can see the goodness of God again. Yes. Glory. Amen. I can free those that have been bruised, those who have been fractured and shattered by what life has brought them. The Holy Spirit has empowered me to be a channel to preach the gospel to the poor, and His power comes into me and flows through me to others, including, and I'm going to go through this again, the sick, the fearful, the depressed and addicted, and bring hope to those who have none. Now, why did I preach all of that, okay? I want you to remember something here. Jesus was speaking there, right? When He said that He was anointed to do all those things. Remember this, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Glory be to God. This could make me cry. And we can receive everything. Say everything. Everything and every anointing that He has from the Father. This is why. Say this is why. Oh, say it again. This is why. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is given to those who follow Jesus. This is the power that still prevails so that we can minister, if you will, to other people, to bring them into the fold so that they can be filled with the Spirit, so that they can have that same working in them and through them to minister to others, and the kingdom grows. That's plan A, and there's no plan B. Amen? But praise God for plan A. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is so much contained within Your Word, so much that we just kind of read past and go over, especially those scriptures, God, that we have heard, maybe preached over and over again or quoted over and over again. But Lord God, help us to be a people that seek so that we can find, a people that knock so that You can open the door. Father, You are so good. And I pray this morning, and I pray this in humility, God. Some of us in this room have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of us haven't. Makes them not less. They're no less than me, or no less than the person that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They just haven't received yet. God, I pray that You would open the minds and the hearts of people that are still waiting for, still seeking, still wanting that baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because God, I know it isn't the perfection of my life, it's the direction of my life. And I pray, oh God, that each person here, that if they haven't received that yet, God, that there would be something inside them, it would just begin to grow and grow and grow in wanting the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Father, I'm going to pray that You'd forgive those that say that's passed away. And we just thank You today, no matter what, God, we just thank You today for the infilling of Your Holy Spirit so that we can have more than enough. And that's Your plan. that we would come short of nothing when it comes to ministering to other people. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody who agrees said, amen. And amen. Prayer partners, if you would come up to the altar. If there's something that you need prayer for, or that you know someone. In fact, I want to just take a moment and pray for Josh's dad, okay? But prayer partners, if you would come up here, and they will pray for whatever you have on your heart. And they'll pray through the week for that, you know. It's not just a one-time thing. But I lift to you right now Richard Martin, Pastor Josh's dad. And Lord, I pray that you would give the doctors wisdom to find out what it is that's causing the congestive heart failure that is happening. God, I pray you would give them wisdom, and I pray it would just be simple, and that he'd be able to walk out of that hospital very, very soon, just completely whole. God, I know, God, you can do this. And I also know from your word that you're willing to do this. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. The altar's open if you want to come to the altar. Also, the prayer partners are up here. Don't leave here today when you have a prayer request on your heart. Just let us pray for you, okay?